The title of this panel is Digital Comics and Graphic Novels, Where We Are and Where We're Going. The purpose of this panel is to talk about the current market for digital comics and graphic novels and manga and where it's headed. We've got sort of an international focus with some panelists from outside the United States, which could give us a feel for some of the trends that they're seeing. And we also have a panelist from the library market who can talk about what's happening in the digital space in libraries. First, I want to introduce Dario Desani, who's the senior manager of New Media for Disney Publishing Worldwide. He was instrumental in the creation of Disney Digicomics, which is the first multi-language, multi-platform product to give fans an entirely new way to experience the vast Disney Comics catalog and archives. He continues to help develop new cross-media and transmedia initiatives, which are in traditional publishing with the digital future. Lindsay Levinson, who's from the MLIS, the Digital Book Specialist for Libraries from Overdrive. She's an expert librarian and trained collection development specialist at Overdrive. She consults with Overdrive partner libraries and schools on e-book selection for opening day collections, strategic budget and collection planning, and she works with publishers on promotions and special offerings. She works directly with hundreds of adult YA and children's collection development librarians to develop their e-book and digital media catalogs. Lindsay also offers Content Wire, a newsletter read by over 16,000 librarians. Lindsay is excited to be participating in this panel to discuss comics in the digital space and how libraries can become an important distribution channel. Michael Murphy, who's the CEO of Iverse. Raise your hand. There you go. Michael is the founder and CEO of Iverse Media. He entered digital publishing in 2005 and founded Iverse in July of 2008, so you're one of the early guys in. Since the company's first release in November 2008, more than 2.5 million applications that are powered by Iverse have been downloaded from Apple's iTunes App Store. Ron Richards, Marketing and Publisher Management from Graphically. He's the co-founder of iFanboy.com, which was acquired by Graphically in early 2010 after 10 years of providing comics criticism, journalism, and a vibrant community. He now works with Graphically to help usher comic books into the digital age and foster community enjoyment of comics. Also the creator and co-host of App Judgment on Revision 3, a mobile application review internet television show. His passion for technology and comics has led him to a unique position in both industries. Masaki Shimizu, the general manager of international business strategy from Bitway. This is the first company that introduced mobile manga service in Japan in 2003. So you talk about early entrance, the United States is sort of not on the same scale as what's going on in Japan. His current mission is to develop digital manga services outside of Japan. He has a broad-based background in the digital media business development field, including mobile internet, PC internet, packaged media, and digital satellite broadcasting, and has an MBA from the University of Southern California. David Steinberger, the CEO of Comixology. He co-founded Comixology in 2007 as a grad student at NYU. A longtime comic fan and passionate entrepreneur, his inspiration for Comixology came from participating in NYU Stern's 2007 business plan competition. David continues to believe developing a community is the best motivation for innovation, which has been the driving force behind Comixology's alternative direction. He holds an MBA from NYU Stern, a master's degree from Manhattan School of Music, and an advanced certificate from Juilliard. So I think we've got a great panel with a really wide range of knowledge and expertise, and since there is such a broad range, we'll probably jump around a little bit because there's going to be some questions that are more appropriate for some to answer than others. But I want to just start out by asking each of our panelists to kind of go around the horn, and we'll start at different ends. We'll start at this end, Dario, this first time. Where do you think the digital comics market is now in terms of the audience? What's selling, its growth rates, and what platforms are the most important?
I hope you hear me. Well, let's say that we represent a specific kind of comics on the market. We are definitely targeting younger demographic, so it's something that is big impact on the way we sell, what we sell, how much we sell, of course. We have started last year selling digital comics with a project which was called Disney Digicomics. We try to keep it very strategic on the back end and very tactical on the execution part of the business, and even on the marketing side. What we are seeing is that the numbers are very stable, so we can estimate that there is a pretty consistent consumer base on the different platform where we are selling the comics. We are actually present on iPhone, iPads, iPods and PSP. But we are making the project much bigger thanks to the investment that we did on the back end. We are going to go on Android phones, other tablets, on the web, through partnerships. We will consider that we have a pretty peculiar business model on at the worldwide level, where we are licensed in most of the countries. We are vertical in Italy, we are vertical in Spain and France, and we are vertical in US, but also in the US we have some licensing business, so it's very difficult to keep all the needs of our different partners take them into consideration and make them make the business proposition appealing to both the consumers and our licensees, which is kind of a peculiar situation versus all the other publishers in the panel potentially, and even Marvel. We think that digital is something that we have embraced, that we will keep embracing, and we hope to make the business opportunity grow not only through adding more platforms and more content, but also to make the making the product more interactive if we can. So it's kind of growing also the importance of rethinking the way we make the storytelling.
Okay. Right. Thank you for having me to be a part of this great event, and I'd like to share some perspective from a Japanese market. So I think there are four things that Myung just asked. As for the audience, for mobile manga services in Japan, female audience has been taking over the male audience. Actually, we really didn't expect to happen when we started back in 2003, but more than 60% of audience accounts for female audience in Japan right now. And for mobile retail service that we do, high teen females are the top segment in terms of number of access, and including free usage, and whereas high 20s and low 30s females are the top in sales. As for content side, a content that sells well for mobile doesn't necessarily be major hit titles in print, but some original titles do quite well for some publishers. However, taking advantage of a cross-media exposure of a content or titles like in movies or a live-action TV drama adaptation can create a great impact on digital sales, and which we can actually bring back to the new readers to the printed comics. And as for the growth rate, since we started 7 years ago, digital comics in Japan has grown from zero to over $600 million market. The speed of growth peaked in 2007 with almost tripling the market size of the previous year, 2006, and now has slowed down a little bit, and I expect to have 20% growth this year. And you know, if we see in dollar amount, it looks as though if we're the market has grown even more due to the overvalued yen. As for the platform, the most important platform today for Japanese market is the feature phones with some sophisticated functionality. And however, new devices have taken over the feature phones, with covering every magazines and newspapers articles regarding digital publishing. So people are feeling that we'll be experiencing a new era for market development for digital comics and digital books in Japan.
Well, for Iverse, our audience is definitely skewing younger. Some of the most popular things that we have released have been towards the younger audience. We do have a few titles that have skewed older that have done well, but for the vast majority of it, the younger titles seem to be the ones that are getting purchased the most. And you know, I don't know if that's because parents are getting something for their kids to read, or because kids are spending a lot of time in app stores. But we're definitely seeing a lot of that. And as far as the platforms are concerned, I think the two most important right now are obviously the iOS, but also Sony's PSP platform has been tremendously successful for us. We've been very impressed with everything that has been going on there and everything that they're continuing to do. And we put a lot of titles on there. We do adaptions and things like that for the platform for various publishers. And we've been very impressed with the performance so far. And one of the things that's interesting about it is that on the iOS platform, it has almost always been the more blockbuster titles have done better. The titles that are connected to a movie or connected to some sort of exterior tie-in. But on the PSP platform, it does seem like the gamer audience there is more interested in trying some different material that may not be as mainstream. And I also think that actually does skew a little bit older on the PSP platform than it does on the iOS. As far as growth is concerned, our last 2 months have been our best 2 months. Things have been growing exponentially. So I think that we're very much in the infancy of this as far as the user base is concerned. And the numbers for 2010 are interesting, but I think the numbers for 2011 and 2012 are going to dwarf those.
Cool. So, excuse me. So on the Graphically side, as far as audience goes, we've seen a lot of, similar to what Michael's seen, we've seen some skewing towards younger, but we've also seen some skewing towards the older standard comic book fan demographic. Just from our feedback that we've gotten from our community on Graphically and on iFanboy, we've seen there's an immense amount of collectors every Wednesday, go to the comic book shop, folks that are just tired of the clutter and tired of having stuff and are looking for a digital solution. In fact, the past year of just personally interacting with the community and hearing this outcry for digital makes what's been going on this past year kind of more comforting of what we're doing, because it seems like it's going in the right direction. But that said, as far as the audience that we're going after, we're looking to both appease both the habitual ritual comic book reader as well as the casual reader, the folks who are walking into Borders or walking into Barnes & Noble or looking on Amazon, aren't quite sure. And so therefore, giving them a sample of what's out there, both from the bigger publishers as well as some of the independent publishers who have a harder time reaching through because distribution is so difficult, especially with the changes at Diamond. Platform-wise, we're available on iOS platform, iPhone, iPad, as well as the desktop, which we've seen immense, great response from the desktop app, mirroring similar to the iTunes experience. Because if you look at computers these days, they're all shipping with widescreens, and especially with some touch capability that's coming out, it really leverages itself towards adapting to pave the way for the tablets that are going to come over. But basically any platform that's out there, whether it's Android, PSP, the other ones, we're looking at every platform. We basically want to make all of our comics accessible everywhere.
All right. So coming from the library perspective, Overdrive is not new to digital. We've been doing audiobooks, e-books, video and music titles to libraries for years. But we are fairly new to the digital comic space. In the last couple of months, we've acquired about 300 Tokyo Pop titles, about 300 Marvel comic titles, and from other publishers, and we're continually working with other publishers, but it is growing a lot. With other ebooks, 85% of our library and school accounts have ebooks, and every month we see about 120% increase in ebook circulation. So it's something that's very, very popular. Pretty much anything that mirrors a physical comic is going to circulate and sell well in a school or public library. So we're seeing a lot of circulation with that. We also had a lot of great buzz around the Hakalia title, which we actually offered for pre-sale a couple of weeks before it was live with the print, or was printed. So we are on multiple platforms. Our history has been in audiobooks, so we have desktop platforms, but we are developing applications for Android, iPhone, Windows Mobile phones. So that's something we're looking towards in the future, is trying to get more into the comic space. We see the digital comics growing. We're looking to work with more publishers to distribute their content to public libraries and schools.
So in terms of platforms, obviously iOS is a huge deal. I'm going to repeat a lot of the same things everybody else said. the web was an important move for us. I think you can't ignore Android simply because the numbers are where they are. You know, it's going to be a really incredible year, I think, in terms of hardware. I think you're going to see a lot of launches to the iPad. I think you're going to see more, you know, Chrome was the Google OS made for tablets, right? And yet Android seems to be the first mover in the tablet space. So you've got some interesting devices coming out from Samsung, and you've got the Playbook announced. So I think that indicates, because not everybody likes Apple and not everybody likes AT&T, and I think that indicates an infancy in itself, that we're just getting started with devices. And to think that there's anything but like huge growth ahead in terms of that is just not paying attention that, you know, the iPhone is only a portion of the market, the iOS. And yet it is, because of the way Apple handled it, the one place that really is working right now is the marketplace. Right? And so we can't really ignore the fact that Apple made something that really works for the consumer. And we have yet to see that really even from Google. Or anyone else, since you're going to have a lot of competing app stores on Android. In terms of titles, we've seen we're a 17 and over app, and I think that we power Marvel and DC Comics and Boom Comics and Image Comics. Generally speaking, those are 12 and over apps. We've seen a lot of hit-driven. We were the ones that put out Scott Pilgrim, for instance. That was a big hit. But we've also seen a lot of kind of smaller indie comics really come through the noise. Iverse, I think, introduced really Atomic Robo to the world, and it's been a phenomenal title for us as well. So I think that in itself is very interesting. So we may be reaching a different audience than Iverse has. The fact that Marvel, DC, the comics application stay in the top 10, top 20 book apps indicates that there's a steady audience growth here for people. Chip Mosher said at CQE2, I think, that he thought there was about 300,000 hardcore comic book buyers. I think Michael's numbers were in terms of application downloads were 2.5 million. So that, you know, I think it indicates that there's an under-distribution of comic books and that digital is really going to push that. I don't remember if that was all the questions. That was four-parter, right?
You got it. And maybe you could, you sort of started talking about this, but the next thing we're going to talk about is 2011 and the next couple of years in general. You know, you just gave a series of answers for the way things happening this year. How's that going to change over the next couple of years? And we'll start at your end, David, and we're going to be back down this
Okay. I think that this is a year of platform. 2011, 2012, I think you're going to see a lot more. What I mean is, like Kindle is for books, where you can either get a Kindle, or you can get the Kindle application for your iPhone, or for the desktop, or apparently they're going to have a web reader as well. I think you're going to see a lot more of that with comics between Graphically's announcements, and the two of us, Comixology and Graphically, already being multi-platform, buy once, read where you want, type of platform. So I think that's going to be a big deal over the next couple of years. And I think that there's a real opportunity for professional quality work that doesn't come out of Marvel and DC to have an opportunity. You know, Marvel and DC are our biggest partners, and they're incredible to work with. It's been a blast, and I think it's going to be hard to overcome even in digital. I think what people underestimate is the power of great marketing teams, entrenched knowledge of products, 75 years of history, all those things. But at the same time, there's an opportunity for a lot more genres to be out there. And I think what's fascinating about the iOS in particular and the way iTunes is made, and I think both Scott Pilgrim and the Pocket.com comics illustrate that you can go direct with a title as an app, and I think this is a question earlier, and reach a larger audience right now than you can necessarily through the larger multi-publisher platforms. So I think that you're going to see a lot more genres. I think you're going to see a lot more experimentation in digital. I think there are going to be a lot more people designing directly for digital. And I think the next panel, I think, is all about creativity in digital. I think that's going to be a huge deal. I think you're going to see it embraced both on the big publisher level and in the smaller, you know, self-published creator-owned world.
Lindsay, when you start off, could you just briefly describe the OverDrive business model for those that aren't familiar with it that are in the library space?
Yeah, sure. Through OverDrive, what we do is we partner with libraries. It's a service. They host their own digital site, and it's pretty much what we call a virtual branch. So libraries have thousands of titles in their collection. They go in with their valid library cards, and they check the titles out. The titles have expiration, so whether it's an audiobook or an ebook, they can get it for 7 or 14 days. It expires. They download it onto their computer. They can read the titles in Adobe Digital Edition or transfer them to devices. The title will expire, and then it returns itself back to the collection. So that's how we work with our platform. And I think for us, a big thing is going to be the school space. We're getting a lot of inquiries from schools. I think comics are a great way for reluctant readers, maybe kids who are unsure about reading. This is a great way to get them learning and reading, and I think that's going to be a big market for us in the future, is the school market.
Hey, can I ask you something? When somebody checks out a book, is it unavailable to other people?
It is, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a one copy, one user model.
I think to play off of what David said, I think portability is going to be a big aspect as well. Like I said, on both our platforms, it's great that if you buy a book on the phone, you can get it on the desktop, that sort of thing. But also, like, I would love to see down the road where, you know, if I buy, you know, Kick-Ass off the Marvel Comicsology app, but we also have it on Graphica, I should be able to get it there as well. So, you know, format portability and really looking to the readers to see how we can embrace their experience. And then furthermore, you know, these are great. All these devices are multimedia, fascinating, futuristic scientific devices that can do so much more than just spin through panels. We've seen, over at Graphically, we've started experimenting, and we've seen great success with augmenting the comic, the comics with additional content. So, like, for example, with Mark Wade, who's here today, with The Irredeemable, we did an audio commentary for issue number one. We announced that at San Diego, and sales doubled on the book. It's just great. And, you know, we actually saw people going back and re-downloading it because they wanted that additional content. So there's a ton of opportunity to play with, you know, whether it's audio commentaries or bonus features or things like that. These devices can do so much more than just Zoom. So I think, well, yeah. Look at my voice, apparently. So I think there's a ton of potential to really pushing the limits of the technology to really, you know, bring the comic experience past just the reading.
Yeah, I think one of the themes of this as we go from that into that end is kind of what they said, because you know, because everything that's been said is very valid and very accurate. You know, right now you can be very successful as an individual title. You know, some of our biggest successes have been as just the, like, Pocket God is Pocket God Comics. It's also available on our application, but you know, where it's reached its most success is going direct to the Pocket God fans. So when they type in Pocket God, they can find it. You know, the platforms are obviously, I think everybody would be in agreement that 2011 is going to be the years of the platforms. I mean, it's just, like David said, you know, all the different devices that are coming out, especially with Android. You know, the Android marketplace was not designed for product like comics. There's a 24-hour refund policy in the Android marketplace. You can imagine that that doesn't really work very well for comic books. You know, we put Android titles out at the very beginning when we put iOS titles out. And the 24-hour refund policy, we could sit there and watch people steal the comic books. You know, we could get their name and address and say, this person at this phone number has bought 5 comics and then read them all and then asked for a refund on all of them. And chances are they liked them or they would have stopped before they got to issue 5. So, you know, that made a huge problem for Android. And the stores that are starting to appear, like, you know, there's going to be a Verizon one, or we're hearing rumors about an Amazon one, those are hopefully going to be a little more walled than the Android marketplace itself, because there is a benefit to the walled garden of the Apple, you know, App Store. You know, we complain about it a lot as developers, but there is a tremendous benefit to some of the things that they choose to do. With Android in particular, it's a little too wide open with things like the 24-hour refund policy to make that stuff work without doing something really drastic to work on the platform and get past some of those rules that they will not bend on. So for 2011, I'm very excited about those new opportunities on platforms like that and interoperability and some of the other, even the Windows Phone 7, I think, is a very compelling platform. And I'm curious to see where all of that goes in the coming months.
Maybe you could start out, too, before you answer the future question about the platforms in Japan. I know it's not primarily iTunes. What platforms are you on?
We've been seeing a lot of new services launching for new devices, like tablets and iPhones, Androids. And we'll see many of that happening in a year. And with like different solutions and viewer applications with each own different format. So it's not a good thing, but we're going to be facing another chaos in the market in Japan. In a few years, a result of like severe competition, I'm expecting to see many of the services either go away or like merge with stronger ones out there. And also in a couple of years, as for the market, I think there's going to be a significant growth for those new devices.
And, can you talk a little bit about also the future in the States for, I know you're doing some things in the outside of Japan.
So Bitway is working closely with major publishers in Japan, and there's a consortium or the Digital Comic Association that consists from the 37 publishers, and we're trying to build a portal for those Japanese manga titles to have more exposure in the U.S. market and English territories. And we're trying to work with the local publishers as well. That's the very important part of our mission. To work with local publishers and hopefully within this half a year to launch that portal.
Darren, where do you see the future going?
For us, 2010 was really something between a soft launch and a wet test. We launched our product December 2029. This year is going to be definitely the year of platforms and the year of business model. I think Apple is going to make his business model much more flexible towards publishers. It's something that everybody is demanding Apple to change. Let's say that for us, for example, subscription is a key, and it's not really possible to make subscription unless on Apple. And this is one. Second is going to be the end of my previous answer was how can we transform our own way of storytelling, taking advantage of all the features of the different technologies. And that's something that is very key for us. Next year we are going to experiment on the traditional comics. How can we make it more compelling and more interactive, for sure. The other thing is that we are going to test something that is very breakthrough for us, which is launching on digital first and on print second. We are announcing here at Comic-Con the comics related to a Disney game that is launching fall, which is Disney Epic Mickey. It's taking Mickey Mouse, bringing it back to the video game world. And we are making original comics around Epic Mickey. Releasing first on digital and then on print. I think this is something that everybody's trying to look at in terms of windowing strategy and stuff like that. But nobody has really, you know, tried to establish a model where you test the market with a product digitally and then you see how can you make it successfully in a printed form. It's a key both in the terms of platform exploitation, but also in terms of storytelling exploitation. This is something that we try to keep in a very carefully managed balance because we don't want to jeopardize our existing business model, which is comic books. But at the same time, we see that the comics book business is you know, fading away, especially for children. Comics is something that competes with television for us. We are sharing the same entertainment wallet, we call it, which goes with Disney Channel, which goes with Disney movies, and it's something that we need to take into consideration. And so we want to make our product more interactive, because this is where kids are going to go. I mean, they want to play with the comics. They don't want just read the comics, especially the younger demographic, which is our target group.
Okay, this thing's turning a little, Michael, maybe you can kick it on. This question is basically comparing comics to other forms of media that have gone through digitization. You know, we've got music, video, text, and how are comics similar? How is it different in terms of how it's going to evolve?
I think comics are extremely different than any of that other stuff. And I think part of that is because of the collector mentality of the comic book fan, and also the niche nature of comic books in general. So I think that there is, you know, I think there's probably an interest on the part of the comic book consumer to keep the comic book shop and the comic book shop experience alive that doesn't necessarily exist for people going to Blockbuster. You know, I don't think that people really care that they walk into Blockbuster, nobody talks to them, they, you know, maybe go get a movie if it happens to be in, wait in line, grab some candy, and leave. They're just fine going to a Redbox or a Blockbuster box and doing that, or getting it from iTunes. In fact, I prefer to get it from iTunes. You know, it's way easier. But, you know, comic book stores and the comic book experience is quite different than all of those things. And since, you know, with music, you had the record stores, but you most of the music was sold in you know, your Walmarts and your Targets and your larger stores. And with comic book fans, you know, it's, and comic books, it's just an entirely different thing. So I think that what we'll ultimately see are some very different solutions that don't reflect the way things are done now.
I disagree slightly, mainly on the music side of things. I think the comics and music experience is probably the most similar. I agree that, you know, the video and film and TV and stuff like that is taking a different kind of path. But I see, you know, and I'm coming out off of prior to comics and technology, about 10 years in the music industry, worked at a record store, you know, worked, you know, roadie for bands and stuff like that. And I was the guy in the 90s going, damn, I want the CD, I want the album, I'm a record collector, I need that first edition Smith single that I don't have. And now here we are 15 years later where I'm downloading everything. And whereas I used to download the record and buy a hard copy of the CD to have the artwork, I'm not even doing that anymore. And I see more and more of my peers doing that as we move towards this kind of digital society. I do think that there is an aspect of the collector in all of us, and the comics fans, which I think is totally true, which I hope does continue, or the 40 long boxes in my closet will be for waste. But I do think that they're taking, if you look at the music progression and the comics progression, they're taking eerily similar paths in terms of the audience being prepared for the transition, as well as the companies dealing with that transition. You had rampant piracy in the early 2000s. You had rampant piracy in the mid-2000s in comics. When I step back and look at the big picture, I just get a little scared because I know how long it took us to get to the point of music where I download everything, don't even think about it. And to have to take that 10, 12 years of unique formats and scared companies and big corporations holding on for dear life onto these properties and ultimately losing towards the end, where now we have a transition in music towards the bands themselves. Bands are like, I'm going to release the CD, the record on my own. We're going to tour on our own. We're going to make money off merch on our own. And you're seeing the record companies, you know, slightly freaking out. I don't want to see the comic companies freak out. So I'm hoping that the comic companies can look behind us and see what happened in music and learn from it.
Lindsay, and you can, I guess, talk about the experience in libraries, which I've seen this transition also.
Well, I mean, we've seen a lot of a lot of patrons hesitant to the idea of going on to a virtual branch and checking out a title and downloading it. And so a lot of people who go into the library, they go in there to get a physical book, physical CD, what have. But as we teach patrons, we have something called the Digital Bookmobile, which we tour all of the United States. We've showing people the interactive experience about how easy it is to go onto their virtual branch and check these titles out. We're seeing increase in circulation, but we're also seeing changing of minds that digital is okay. They're still checking it out. There are digital rights attached to these titles, so we appease the publishers and all the suppliers we work with. But we're really seeing some changing minds as across all generations, all ages, all types. A lot of people are really kind of adapting to the way that libraries kind of lend titles out.
So I think there are some fundamental differences between, especially music and comics. I think it can be argued that music was artificially inflated by the album and the fact that you had to buy an album. And there were some big mistakes on the way into digital, for sure. But generally speaking, music was really available. There are some estimates out there that say 50% of the geography of the U.S. can't get to a comic book store, right? So there's a huge difference in general distribution. And I think the popularity and mindshare comics that you've seen gained through movies, popular culture, and TV over the last 12 years, probably since Amazing Spider-Man came out of the movie, right, has just been a huge amount. I mean, it's like four times in box office receipts by comic book properties. But yet distribution of comics has not kept up at all. So you don't see kind of the matching of the availability of the medium with the popularity of all the products that come around. And maybe that's looking at it in a strange way, that the comics themselves, because of the distribution problem, haven't become the biggest hit that they can be since they were a big hit and they faltered since the money has been in licensing for so long. But it's my belief that as the titles become more available. And part of that, there was a huge impatience. I mean, one of the biggest comments that we get is, more titles, more titles. I buy from you only if you have X, Y, and Z, but you don't, so I'll never buy from you. I hate you. and there's a process, right? I mean, it's interesting. So there is this scary thing of, yep, scan a comic, comes out on Wednesday, it's available on Torrent by Saturday, you get everything that came out in one bundle. Very convenient. The difficulty is that we're all trying to make a product that is an improvement upon a scan of a book for digital products like small devices that need some help and work to make it function well as a storytelling piece. So all these things take time and resources, and where the music industry arguably blew it is that they had tons of resources, right? And they didn't marshal them very quickly. Companies, I mean, we have a duopoly situation and a huge amount of in terms of publisher numbers, in terms of individual publishers, lots of very small ones without any resources or hardly any resources except grit and passion and desire and. And so, as we all get better and as the technology solutions improve, I think that's why you see, for instance, these little guys come out of nowhere, like Ivor's Comixology graphically, not out of these big corporations, because it's a technology solution. And one that because the market for licensed material out of comic books seems so much bigger than the comic books themselves, that the publishers themselves save Marvel with their Marvel Digital Comic Book universe, we're a little more hesitant to put a ton of money into and try to solve. And I think as we all mature and our tools mature and the ability, I think one of the big things for Longbox, for instance, is coming right out of InDesign or Quark or whatever directly into digital, is that the tools will improve, and that means the catalogs will get bigger, and hopefully we'll be able to catch up and not lose the momentum. The question I have for anyone who's talking about the rampant piracy is, just how many of these books do you think are actually lost sales, and are in terms of downloading that huge torrent of all of Wednesday's comics, are actually getting read?
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, kind of the collector's mentality again. I think this is interesting. And I think the market that we're seeing in the current area is more of a mass audience mentality and less of a collector's mentality, except for that's all the people that are coming over from the Wednesday shop in the original.
I'm sorry, just on the piracy thing, like I said, I mean, every day I'm talking to the consumers, and over the past couple of years we've done informal questions, stuff like that, and it surprised me how many people are pirating. And when I think about the pirating of music and comparing that to the pirating of comics, piracy of music has gone way down over the past 10 years because the availability has gone up. Now it's way easy to go to Amazon or iTunes and for 99 cents get that song you're looking for. And so it's proven now that the counterbalance of piracy is availability. Sorry.
Starting from the piracy, I don't believe that piracy is going to affect or has ever affected the comics business so far, just because collectors just want it. Just want the paper piece in their collection, and even if they download, they keep buying it. So it's not an issue. I mean, especially for us on a younger demographic, if the kids can pirate, well done. I mean, it's pretty impressive. Isn't it?
Unless it's a huge issue for us, because we only have some tiny, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm on your side, but I'm saying when they'll have it, it is such a tiny margin for leverage here in the States that we really need to pay with relief. But we'll see all of them upstairs tomorrow.
Right.
So that, you know, I understand the fear of piracy more on our side. So you're saying your business model is not as much
of an issue. No, it's not. It's not because it's a younger demographic. It's not because we see a lot of piracy on the different peer-to-peer torrents, emails. A lot of Disney comics are there at the same moment they are on shelf. So we track it a little bit. Disney is very concerned about piracy in general, because we also have the movie business that we have to protect in a way. So this is DRM is something that keeps coming back on our desk every day. But as far as the comparison between music and comics business is concerned, I think that the big difference is that music, the change in music industry happened when technology was not so much spread on the market. Not these many tools were available, not iPods, not iPhones and other digital devices, while today people are getting probably used to read comics already starting from digital. So they already have iPads, they already have iPods. The other question is, did the music executives saw it coming? I don't think so. Probably they didn't want to see it coming. We are ready to do that. We are ready. Everybody on this panel was probably, if not born, was raised with technology, and we saw that, you know, for our business, it was coming. So we could embrace it or embrace it. It was not an option. And so we have to work on it again, from every different perspective, being that platforms or models or content. But I think that the big difference is that we don't have the superstars like the artists and performers who also have concerts to make business with merchandising. We have to do it with our product, and that's the way it needs to be.
For the piracy issue, I think depends on titles and the company behind the title, maybe. Because people are aware that if the user use your content, then you can track the people down. And for manga content, I think people are not so much aware of getting tracked down for manga titles, and I think piracy issues are very huge for a manga itself. So I'm also hoping that the official marketplace would discourage illegal usage in the future. And another thing that I want to point out for the difference with the digital comic and the other media is that the part where digital comics and digital books in general can easily integrate new values onto the content itself. like Ron just mentioned. And whereas music and video content will essentially be providing the same user experience. And what I mean is that by optimizing the layout of the comic and the content on each device with a different size, or by utilizing features for digital, publishers and players like us need to think about re-editing the content so that the users will have more optimal experience through digital, and to let people realize that they actually like the story or characters, and which will help bring new users back to the print business. And I'm not saying this to make nice comments, but which is very important for us because our parent company is printing company. And as a group, we really believe that this synergy effect can be driven. And we actually experienced this phenomena with many publishers by putting their titles on mobile.
I think we're getting spontaneous eruptions from the audience. So we're going to go to Q&A to make them sanctioned as opposed to spontaneous. There are some hands back there. Okay, Mark.
Real briefly, Dario and Saki, I'd like to talk briefly about what your business model is. You know, in the States, it's pretty much default at $1.99 for about 22 pages of content. What, how does that stack up to what you guys are offering?
This is a very good question, because in the markets where we have launched and where we see the major number of downloads today, where we have launched the digital comics, there is a direct benchmark between the printed product and the digital product. So people can buy every week a number of Topolino, which is our weekly magazine where all the Mickey Mouse comics go. It's 220 pages each week of comics and editorial pages. And that's €2.20, which is around $2.50. 220, but it's around 50% comics, 50% editorial pages.
And are these reprints or are they new?
No, this is new stories.
All new material.
And then we have comic books, which are 300 pages of comic book reprinting old stories. We are doing both new stories and old stories on digital. The problem is that the benchmark, the lowest price that we can have on Apple is 79 cents. So people are saying, this is a robbery. Because if you have five stories in a comic book and you have one, and you sell it for €2.20 and you sell one story in digital format for 79 cents, this is robbery. And this is why we see stable performance on the digital downloads. We are happy with that, but we are sure that if there was a more flexible business model on the marketplace end, we could be much more successful.
So are you convinced that going to the lowest price point is the most important thing?
No. I'm just saying that I should be able to sell stories not only as a story by story, but potentially selling as bundles, selling them as subscription, selling them as digital replica, not just a la carte.
I don't ask that to disagree, because some flexibility in pricing from the iOS would be fantastic.
Yeah, but you can do that. I mean, IDW's True Blood and Pocket God both have subscriptions in them. It's still tricky to work with Apple to get it done, but it is doable. And you can, you can get all four issues of Pocket God for $1.99.
But what we are not saying today is that, yes, it's feasible, but the real advantage of making subscription with your traditional business model is that you keep track of the users, which is something that you cannot do with Apple.
Masaki, so what's the model in terms of number of pages for what price in Japan?
As for a mobile manga service, we price from a range of a dime to a dollar for 20 pages for mobile. And the average price point is about 25 cents for each chapter, 20 pages. And our model is basically we do a subscription base of charging to the users with $5 subscription plan, and we actually give them points to purchase those chapters. So as long as they stay on the subscription, people pay monthly basis. And if they get short of their points to acquire the chapters, then they can add more points to purchase that points.
And Lindsay, how's the pricing work for libraries?
As Grant mentioned, we also do subscriptions. We do subscriptions with several different publishers, so that is possible, as well as doing the one copy, one user. It is, for separate issues, it's going to be a little bit more than the print version, obviously, because it's lending, so it's going to go to multiple patrons. So I would say it's pretty comparable. About one issue is going to, for Marvel title, is about $4.99. It's a little more than the print version, but it is going to be lent out hundreds of times.
And they don't wear out.
Right, exactly. You don't have to replace them.
Yeah,
Sarah.
Two questions. Can you make a comment?
Michael
can talk to that.
Yeah, actually 2.5 was the download number when I submitted that, but we're over 3 now.
This is for
applications that have been powered by iVerse software, but they're all comics.
Okay, and then,
yes.
And then related to that, can you speak to the range of average issue sales?
I think that depends a lot on the deal associated with that issue. Anybody is welcome to take this. I mean, you know, as far as that goes, it ranges quite a bit. I mean, Pocket God, you know, said a little bit about those numbers. That was very successful, but it doesn't have to be like that to be successful. If an indie title is selling a few thousand copies a month or even every couple of months, and those indie creators are making some money off of that versus, you know, the alternative, then it's very successful for them. It just it depends on the situation, you know, and the book.
I think personally for us, it's too early to tell. I mean, everything's trending like that, so I'm happy. But at this point, I want to get a year's worth of data before we start saying, okay, this is success, this is what we tweak.
Anybody on the panel will say a number?
just throw in some numbers from Japan. Some titles, like original ones, we do sell. Some of them sell over 10,000 a day, downloads a day. So
original, you mean original for digital?
Original for digital.
Anybody else? Okay. Yes, you're right.
In a lot of ways, what we're hearing for digital is it's almost sort of the reversal of the early 90s. It's almost a complete move away from the hardcore collector focus to a more mass media. Do any of the panelists think that that's where things are headed, that basically that hardcore audience is not really going to be targeted?
I think if you want scale to your business, you have to go big. I mean, I think the hardcore collector, there's a subset of that which are tech savvy and want to collect these as well. But I think in terms of, you know, like I live out in San Francisco and work in the tech industry, and I know a lot of non-comic readers, and I've had people actually pull up the Graphically app, the Comixology app, the iVerse app, and be like, oh, you like comics? Check this out. And like they would never have thought to go to a comic book store, but it was on iTunes and they downloaded it. So I think, you know, to have a successful business, you want to go as big as possible. So we can. It's not going to be hard to get the diehard reader. I mean, because we're giving them what they want. We've already got them. It's everyone else that is a little more of a challenge. So.
Over there.
I think actually from the issue of scale language for the lives, we were projecting that actually. And I and my company launches really properly. So we're talking about scale for 400 million individuals. Any of your companies that are a big time or long term, they will provide working with Canadian languages for 10 years. That's awesome. I don't know any of your companies thought about the China market, because I see you guys talking.
I'm actually going to Hangzhou next week.
Oh, cool.
So we should talk?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, back there.
You mentioned 3 million app downloads, but most of your applications are free. How many of those users are actually paid sales? Is it 10 free downloads to one paid sale?
That's a really good question. And you know, I'm not going to lie and tell you that there are more paid downloads than there are free downloads. You know, there's a lot of different ways to make money on digital comics, and you can make money on free digital comics. As far as telling, you know, the exacts on paid versus free is a lot more free than paid. There's a lot of different ways to make that revenue work for everyone involved.
I agree. Consider that in our example, we haven't had a Disney Comics business in the States in the last 20 years, 30 years.
I think Boone would argue.
Yes. I was just about to say that after we launched digitally, we are seeing a major increase in our sales on the traditional business. So this is, to your point, we are making business on print thanks to having tapped into a reservoir of demand that was, we didn't even know that was there.
Okay, we're going to do one more. Yes.
Can anyone speak to advertising in the comics? Are you launching anything, or is that the job of the publisher to handle that, or are you shying away from it, or is there...
We've had a couple of advertisements in the app itself. I think it would be silly not to think that there's some room to experiment with that, and that honestly, that there's an appetite and the case study for this is print, right? So there's lots of indications that people will put up with some advertising even in a paid comic. Yeah. I'm not saying that we're adding or announcing ads in paid comics or anything like that, but I think that
no one here is
not something you should ignore at any
Yeah, I think, I mean, we're looking at current advertising models that users are already used to. So, for example, you know, as we look at the web and our web product, you know, web advertising is something that everyone's used to, whether it's pre-rolls on video or overlays or banner ads or things like that.
You've got an iPad, you know, live connection to the internet, somebody's reading a comic and they can click on whatever product is right there. It seems like they're
happy. Yeah, it's a fine. I mean, I've done a lot of work in both ad sales and ad delivery and stuff, but it's far too much, and it's a fine line between a great way to make money and a great way to piss off and turn off your users. So it's finding that middle road to make it so that it's profitable for the creators and for the publishers and us, but also make it so that the users understand, you know, the transaction that's going on.
Is that why you were saying that you could actually give away books?
Right, exactly. And we've done some of that and it's been successful. And I think for probably everybody up here, you will see some kind of experimentation with that in 2011. I mean, it would be silly not to. And it's a natural progression. It makes a lot of sense. And in certain ways, there's ways to market that material free and have it actually make more money for everyone involved than if you charged for it. Especially when you have an audience of, you know, 70 million plus iOS users, if not more. I mean, it's got to be close to 100 million now. So there's a lot of opportunity there.
Okay. I've been doing this a while, and I always have a panel where everybody on the panel is smarter than I am. Let's give a great hand to this.